Open your Bibles with me this morning to John chapter 11. Or one of about 100 other places we could use as a text this morning. Because I just want to look at one word. There's one word in the Bible that we use today fairly commonly. Quite often, in fact, in regards to death. And in John chapter 11, verse 11, Christ uses this word to describe his friend Lazarus. If you remember the story, Lazarus was sick, and his family sent to Christ and said, "You need to come quick. Our friend Lazarus is sick to the point of death." And when Jesus got there, in fact, Lazarus had already passed away. And Jesus says he's asleep, and uses that word to describe Lazarus, and that word then becomes, again, it shows up in numerous places to describe death in the Word of God. I'm pretty sure that if you and I didn't have access to the Word of God, that sleep would not be one of the words that we use to describe death. It just, I don't think we would have adopted that word, because it just doesn't typically in our mind match up with sleep. If somebody's asleep, you walk over and you shake them, and you wake them up. Or certainly that's the way it works at my house. If somebody's asleep, it's like there's a rule somewhere, you got to wake them up. And so, sleep just isn't a word that you and I would use for death. But, it has become so common today that even the mafia and the mobsters use it. You hear people talk about sleeping with the fishes. And so it's just a common word that is used. And as I thought about that, and I begin to think about what exactly, why is it that that God chose numerous times in the Word of God to use this word sleep to describe death and to label death. I began to think about that, and as I thought about it and thought that through, it came to my attention that God does that quite often, that He uses something we know to describe something we don't. That He uses something that we do understand to describe something and to give us insight into something that we don't understand. And let's be honest, most of us don't have a real good understanding of death and what exactly it's like, what death holds. If we're honest about it, we're generally a little bit worried about death. I don't care how close to God you are, I've noticed none of you volunteering to go early. So it's one of those things that we really don't understand a lot about. And so we hear this word sleep, and in fact the word sleep is used almost 100 times throughout the King James Version of the Bible, and the majority of those times do refer to death. And so it's obvious that God is trying to get a point across and to enlighten us a little bit about exactly what death means. And so as I thought about that and began to say, okay, well, what is sleep like? Well, what do we know about sleep that then is transferable? What do we know about death and sleep that we can... excuse me. That won't be the last one of those you get today. It may be the last excuse me you get. I'm going to say excuse me once for all those yet to come, okay? What do we know about sleep that helps us to understand a little bit more, a little bit better about this idea of death? As I begin to think about that and kind of making a list, there's actually, you could probably make quite a lengthy list of things about sleep that teach us what exactly it means, what is the idea of death. But this morning, I just want to take and I want to give you four that I think are the four most prominent, the four that are the most, as God spoke to me, the most important parallels I can make between sleep and death, and use those hopefully to get you to understand death a little bit more, maybe prepared for death a little bit more. And one of the first ones that I thought about it is, as I think about sleep, one of the things that often we forget about sleep is the requirement of sleep. We think about, well, we've got to eat, we've got to have water, we've got to have liquid. We know those as requirements of life. We've got to have oxygen. There are certain things that we think about that are requirements in our life. But the fact of the matter is generally, if I was to go out and say to folks, if I was to pass out a survey and I would have said this morning, write down for me the things that are required of life, I would dare say that less than 5% of the folks here this morning, if that many, would have put down on their list sleep. As one of the requirements of life. We would have put food, we would have put liquid, we would have put oxygen, we would have put, we might even put family, we might have put love, a lot of things we might have put, but sleep typically doesn't make the list. But the reality is that sleep is a requirement for life. In fact, scientists tell us we spend about a third of our life in sleep. I told you a few weeks ago that we have about average lifespan of 25,500 and some million days. Works out to be about an average of 70 years. Well, if you live 70 years, the typical person spends about 23 years asleep. Now, some of you are beating the average. I understand that. You stop and think about it. About 23 years of your life spent sleeping. You throw in the time you spent eating and the time you spent in front of the television, to be honest with you, your life's pretty much toast right there. That's where the majority of life is spent, between eating, sleeping, and watching television for the average person today. And the reason that that sleep takes up a third of our life is because of the requirement. If you go about life and every person here at some point in their life has probably experienced this to some degree. If you are deprived of sleep, if you don't get the sleep that you need, you don't make good decisions. You're probably not the most friendly person to be around. A lack of sleep has a definite effect on our body. In fact, I was watching a thing one time on television, and they were taking people, and they were depriving them of sleep and then putting them in a simulator and trying and allowing them to drive. And they were by far worse drivers being deprived of sleep than they were under the influence of alcohol. The body requires sleep. It is necessity. Medical doctors tell us that without sleep, lack of sleep, depriving ourselves of sleep increases our risk of heart disease, increases our risk of multiple diseases. And just to kind of put it in perspective, how many of you, if I would have said list the requirements of life, how many of you honestly would have put sleep? Be honest. But you'd have put food and water, right? You do know you can live longer without food and water than you can without sleep. Did you know that? You can go longer without food and water than you can without sleep. And so sleep is a requirement of life. It is an unavoidable part of life. In fact, I have decided I do my best not to try to avoid it. Why try? All I got to do is get still. I have slept, laying in the floor. I have slept propped up against a tree squirrel hunting. I have slept in the car. I have slept in bed trucks. Sometimes they were even parked. Laid out on that pew right there. I have slept in my office. I have, it hadn't been too long ago. I think it was right at Christmas that I laid down in the living room floor. Next thing I know, I was gone. Somebody's kicking me. It's part of life. You cannot avoid life. I've driven home when I worked from Rita. I've driven home with my window down, my head hung out the door window, trying to get cold air in my face, trying to stay awake. And the requirement of sleep is there, and it varies. I think about, I go back and I started in back then in the bread business like 2 days after I turned 21. I could stay up, watch Monday Night Football, get up, take it an hour and a half, 2 hours, get up, go to work 12 hours, not miss a lick. It was good. By the time I left, I'd been promoted. I didn't have to be in the office till 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I thought that was way too early. Sleep is a requirement, and the older we get, the more it seems to be a requirement. And just freebie. I don't know if you ever noticed this or not, but have you ever got up and said, "Oh, I slept wrong"? How many of you ever done that? If you look around, you'll notice any young person in the building raised their hand on that one. That is strictly an old person's disease. A young person, I guarantee you, I could take old Logan over there, take him out there in the parking lot, lay him down on the asphalt, go find him a brick for a pillow and a handful of leaves for cover. He'd get up in the morning, go over there and shoot basketball and never miss a lick. I take old Archie here, put him in the finest feather bed the stores had to offer. He's going to get up tomorrow morning and go, because he's old. You know, that's an old man's disease. You know, you young people saying, this sleep hurts. Sleep only hurts old folks. I feel that. But I don't care, young or old, it is a requirement. Well, you know what the Bible says about death, that it also describes the sleep? It says it is appointed unto man once to die. Why does God compare death to sleep? Why does He use that word to describe sleep? I think He does that to remind us and to illustrate to us that every one of us is going to die. You know, one of the things that you and I know, I don't care if it's Bill Gates with his millions. I don't care if it's the president in the White House. I don't care if it's you and I. I don't care if it's the homeless fella that is living. You know, what do we say about the homeless fella? We don't say he's living under the bridge. What do we say? We say he sleeps under the bridge, don't we? I want you to know something. Whether it's Bill Gates with his millions, or whether it's the homeless guy on the street, or anybody in between, this is one thing I know they have in common. At some point during the day, they're going to lay down and go to sleep. Or they're going to sit down and go to sleep. Somewhere along the way, they're going to sleep. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how poor you are. Sleep is common. And as I think about that, the exact same thing is true of death. I don't care whether you're talking about the richest man in the world, or whether you're talking about that fella, the homeless guy on the street, and everybody in between, the one thing that is common is that sleep is required. Whether you're talking about taking a nap, or whether you're talking about sleeping for eternity, either way, you're talking about something that is a requirement of human life. The body demands that eventually you lay down. You know, and sometimes it's more than others. I haven't felt good the last few days, and I want to tell you something. I caught up on a whole lot of my 23 years of sleep yesterday. And I intend on leaving here this morning and catching up on some more of it. That's my plan. It's just, sometimes the body requires more. Well, I want you to know something. The day is coming when your body's going to say, you know what? It's time to lay down. It happens to everyone. The requirement of sleep. Death is the great equalizer. The author of Hebrews again, he says that. He says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. We see the requirement of sleep. The interesting thing I see about that is then the resistance of sleep. You know, as I think about how God describes sleep, death as sleep, and think about if you've ever been around a small child. Have you ever seen a baby fight sleep? Yeah, you've used that. They'll fight it, boy, with everything in them. Sometimes as adults we fight sleep. We sit out on the couch and we really want to watch this movie, this show that's on, and we'll sit there and we sit and we try to, we squirm, we wiggle. I'm going to tell you, my solution for that, just in case any of you want to know. Here's the best way to deal with that problem. Go on, spend the extra $4 or $5 a month, get you a DVR. Just go ahead right up front, and if it's something you want to watch, hit record. Because here's what happens to me. I watch about 10 minutes and I doze off. I wake up and it's about 25, so I have to back up. I have to watch that over again. Well, before that's over, I doze back off. And so when I back it up. I don't know how long it would, if you ever met, I don't know how long it might actually take me to watch an hour television show by the time I back up and get in between my naps and everything else. Yeah, I'm preaching to my people. I can tell by the looks on some of y'all's faces. Some of you are sitting there going, hey, that's a good idea. I'm going to call the cable company today. Yeah, listen, we fight sleep. We talk about babies doing it. But all of us are, whether it's driving down the road, we'll stop in, we'll get us, a drink with some caffeine in it, or one of those super duper drinks they've got now, those 5-hour energy drinks, or some of those drinks that have got so much caffeine you get out of the car and just run the rest of the way home. We've got all kinds of things like that. We do everything we can to fight sleep, to resist sleep. Turn the radio wide open. Roll down the windows. Turn on the air conditioner. You name it. We'll try everything to resist sleep. You know as well as I do, there's just beaucoup of accidents on the road that are caused by sleeping drivers or those that are dozing off or, you know, those kind of things. And so, you know, we try to go along and we do the same thing to death. When I thought about this, is how God describes death to sleep. We do the same thing to death. We do everything we can to avoid it. You don't believe it? All you got to do is look around and look at every doctor's office on every corner. There's not a doctor's office on that corner. There's a drugstore on that corner. You know, look around you. You know, all you've got to do is look at the political scene and see how all the argument and all that we spend and the debate over health care in America. You look around and. All you have to do is, look up and find some old pictures of right up here on Church Street of what used to be Cabarrus Memorial. You know, what used to be, you know, a few rooms and an elevator. You know, and you go up there to now, and you know, I can't tell you how many times I'm walking through the hospital, and somebody stop me and say, "Do you know where room so and so is?" You know, they can't find their way around. I think about, I remember my grandmother sitting back there, her mother one time, being in the hospital up there and talking about, she was in a room somewhere, and she started talking about how she could remember when that place opened, and, you know, how it was just kind of a house more or less on a dirt road, and you look around, and, you know, if you've been here any time at all, you know what's happened to that place. It's, let's be honest. How many of you know where your room is? You don't. You don't have a clue. I can't tell you how many times I've walked in a hospital room with somebody and walk in there, look at me and say, "Where am I?" They're not confused like they're confused. They don't know where they're at in the hospital. You know, am I on the back, the front? Am I even in the hospital? Where am I in this place? How do I get out of here? That's what they want to know. You know, where's the door? That's what they're really trying to figure out. You know, think about it. All the money we spend, you know, and there's a big difference in saying, "Oh, I'm not afraid to die." I don't see you signing up. You know, we do everything we can. We take all kinds of pills. We go to all kinds of doctors. Think about it. Even the story we talked about here in John 11 with Lazarus. You remember what happened? Bible says that Lazarus was sick, and they'd called doctors, and they'd done everything they could, and it finally got to the point where they said, "Listen, he's about to die. Let's call Jesus." We do everything we can to resist death. Often as adults, we do everything we can to resist sleep. Listen, it's something that we try to put off. We, you know, look at all the money that's spent on health care, everything else. We spend most of our time living trying to keep from dying. You know, and so the second comparison I see between sleep and death is not only the requirement of sleep, the requirement of death, the resistance of sleep, the resistance of death. Third thing I think is a parallel as God so often calls death sleep is the readiness for sleep. Now, I don't know about you. I'm going to tell this story again if it busts me wide open. People at 8:30 looked at me like I had lost my ever-loving mind. Not the first time I ever got that look, and it didn't slow me down, just by the way, because I'm going to tell the story again. Yeah, I don't know about you, but most of the time, you know, we try to get ready for sleep, don't we? You know, we try to get things prepared. You know, no matter how much we try to resist it, we ultimately end up trying to get prepared for sleep. And I don't know how you are, but if I'm going to be gone from home very long, I may not take the dog, I may not take the kids, but my pillows are going with me. You know. Pillows, plural. That's an only child thing. I don't know. My pillows are going with me. You know, I don't know what else. You know, whatever else will fit in the car is all right. But my pillows are going with me. I'm going to tell y'all something. I have spent a week in Lynchburg, Virginia at Liberty, and I carried the stuff I was taking with me in a couple grocery bags, but I took my pillows in a stack. You know. I'm going to tell you, the pillows made the trip. Everything else, there's a Walmart in Lynchburg. I can always go get another toothbrush. I can always go get toothpaste. You know, I tell you what, One morning I woke up and got to look and thought I'd forgotten my britches and couldn't find them things nowhere. And back then there was a policy at Liberty when Dr. Farwell was living. You couldn't be on campus in blue jeans. That's all I had. I had the blue jeans I'd wore up there, and I couldn't find my dress pants anywhere. And so I couldn't figure out what to do. At 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm down at the Walmart hunting me some britches. I buy me a pair of britches, and I come home. I get back to the hotel. I get dressed. I go back out to get in my car, and they're hanging in the car. But I knew where my pillows was. Might lose my britches, but I'm gonna know where them pillows are. Guarantee you. I got to update y'all on Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. Y'all remember me back a while back telling you about my wife wanting $100 pillows? Y'all remember that story? My wife had in her mind that them $100 pillows on HSN was the cat's meow. That was going to be what she needed. That was the thing. And I told her, like I told y'all, there ain't no such thing in this world as $100 pillows. Now you can't get mine for $100, but you can't buy any on HSN. You might could, I don't know. $100 pillows. Well, y'all probably know how this story goes, this next part of this story. Guess what my wife got for Christmas? $100 pillows. Guess what my wife did with them $100 pillows? Slept on them one night and sent them back. I rest my case. There are no such thing as $100 pillows. Okay? But you know, we all have our routine. I don't know about you. If I have my luxury about it, I have a routine on preparing to go to bed. I'm going to walk by sometime, if I think about it in time, I'm going to walk by and punch the button on my electric blanket. And I'm going to turn it up to H, which my wife says stands for Hades. Because I want it to get warm before I get there. And see, I have a system. I know that eventually it'll be so hot that the heat will carry over. I'll be asleep. She'll get up and turn it down. I'll be comfortable. She knows that. I'm not letting the cat out of the bag. She knows that's my plan. I told her, you got to get up to let the dogs out anyway. While you up, turn my blanket down. She says, why don't you let the dogs out? That's a different story. Once I get into bed, let me lay this out for you. I got two pillows in one pillowcase. I got a leather thinner pillow that I lay on top of that. There's a method to the madness, because if you put all three in there, it's too thick. And when I turn over on my side, I want the thicker two on the bottom and the thinner one on the top, so that when I slide my hand between, and I look so cute, that my hands are, because if it's not stacked just right, my hands are not in the, they got my arms in the wrong place, and so they got to be stacked just right. Over beside the bed, I got this pillow. It's about this tall, about this big around. It's about human size. Now, I already tell y'all back here, when I sleep like a hot dog at the 7-Eleven. Okay? My sinuses give me so much trouble that I roll from side to side so I can breathe. Just all night long, I got that heating blanket, that electric blanket turned up. I told you I'm like a hot dog at the 7-Eleven, just rolling and rolling. I'm done by the time I wake up. When I roll over on this side, I reach over and I grab that great big old pillow and I throw this arm over, because I don't know how to do it with this arm, and it just makes my shoulder hurt. And I put this arm right in that gap between them two pillows. Now I'm happy. When I get tired of sleeping that way, I roll over the other way and I don't need a big old pillow. I just throw my arm over under. Well, I got to do something with this hand. So before she ever went to sleep, I got a little thin pillow that I snuck up in behind her pillow. So when I roll over this way, I slide my arm up under her pillow and lay my hand on that pillow to keep this shoulder from hurting. All the while, I got a great big long thin pillow between my legs, because if my legs fall off each other, it makes my back hurt. And I have to keep it with me while I'm rolling. Listen. Now, you may not be smart enough to have thought all this out. What does this mean? You can't look at me and see I get my beauty sleep. Maybe some of y'all should try it. Now, you may have an even more elaborate routine. You know, you may, you know, I don't know, all the things you may go through. You know, listen, y'all don't sit there. Some of you probably put the curlers in your hair and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you got your routine. You prepare for sleep. Temperature's got to be a certain way to, you know, and don't mix up my pillows. I guarantee you, I'll spot it. I got to be prepared. You know, listen, you think I'm kidding about being, have you priced a mattress in Box Springs lately? Tell me you don't prepare to sleep. I will guarantee you that your bedroom furniture was the most expensive furniture in your house, unless you cheaped out, and then you paying for it. But if you get a nice mattress in Box Springs, you done sunk a couple weeks' work. You know, they're not cheap, and they don't last long. That's the other thing about it. You prepare for sleep. You see where I'm headed when God says, uses death as sleep? You better prepare for it. You know what happens if I don't prepare for sleep properly? If I go off and I end up in a hotel without my pillows, I end up, like I said, that old man's disease. I end up waking up hurting somewhere. If I sleep at all. If I don't prepare for sleep, I don't get the rest. If I want to get the rest that I need, if I want to enjoy a night's sleep, you know what I got to do? I got to prepare. And if you plan on enjoying sleep, you better prepare. And there's only one way to do that. It's not in pillows. It's not in feather mattresses. It's only through Jesus Christ. That's it. It takes me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. At least 6 pillows? I don't know. It only takes one Jesus if you're going to prepare to sleep. Sleep requires, I don't know about you, some of you, I said, you probably not may not be that detailed in your pillow arrangement, but you got a certain pair of pajamas, or you got certain, you go in there and you adjust the thermostat just right. We've got routines where we prepare for sleep. You better be prepared for sleep. Because just as your body requires you to lay down every night, the day is coming when your body is going to lay down for good. And you better be prepared. There are people who are going out, and I have preached funerals where every little detail was laid out. You can go down to the funeral home, you can pre-plan, you prepay. You can pick out your casket, you can pick out your flowers, you can pick out your box, you can say who's going to sing, you can say who's going to preach, you can lay out every little detail. You know what? You can still not be prepared to die. Only through Jesus Christ are we prepared. We write out our will, distributing our property. We do everything else. We get our insurance bought. But listen, none of those things prepare you to die. None of those things prepare you. You know, you're not going to stand before God one day and say, I made my funeral arrangements. I had a will. I had insurance. No. There's only one way to prepare to die. You can die without funeral arrangements. You better not leave this earth without eternity arrangements. You can resist it all you want to, but it is required of you, and you better prepare for it. Let me close with this thought. The reward of sleep. Have you ever, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You get a good night's sleep. Man, there's nothing beat a good night's sleep. You go, listen, I can't tell you how many times I've went to bed at night with a worry in my mind, with something bothering me, didn't know the answer, didn't know how it was going to work out. Wake up the next morning with a good night's sleep, refreshed. Wake up and your eyes come up, boom, there's the answer. You know, go to sleep at night, sick, headache, wake up, headache gone. You know. It's amazing what a good night's sleep does for us. It's amazing. You know, if you get those pillows adjusted just right, you know, if you get everything just coordinated just right, you wake up energized, you wake up refreshed, you wake up ready to face another day. How many times have you laid down at night and thought, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow? And you wake up and it seems like all of a sudden everything's different. If you make the proper preparations for sleep, then sleep can be enjoyable. Sleep brings refreshment and energy. I remember years ago, I don't know why this sticks in my mind, But I can remember years ago being in elementary school and having the homework assignment of drawing a map of the United States. Anyone who's ever seen me try to sign my name can only imagine what I can do with a set of crayons and a map of the United States. It looked a lot more like Mexico after an earthquake than it did the United States. I tried and I cried and I cried and I tried. Just couldn't get it. Finally, I remember my mom said, go to bed, we'll get up early in the morning and we'll try again. Got up the next morning, first shot. Now, I can't tell you that it was, you know, I can't think of any artist. That's how unartistic I am. But it passed. It's amazing what a good night's rest will do. Why does God call death sleep? Because it's required. You're going to do it. Because we resist it with all we've got. We'll bankrupt ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, avoiding death. But if you prepare for it, there's a great reward in that sleep. Fail to prepare. See, here's reality. Every person in this room, and you know it, you look around this room and you know that this is a good Sunday. Most of us are going to be asleep by 1 o'clock. You know, then we'll get up, we'll move around and we'll go back to sleep. You know that every person, regardless of how rich or old or young, today's a good day for sleep. You don't prepare for it. Every person in this room, you're going to death is appointed to you once. You're going to stand before God. I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I used to be a pretty much of a late night person. And I would stay up, I'd be reading or working on something, and I'd fall asleep in some horrible spots. I'd fall asleep sitting at the dining room table. I'd fall asleep at my desk. I'd fall, you know, just wherever. And eventually Rhonda would wake up and realize, and she'd come through, and every time, these were her words, without fail. Why don't you come to bed? That's a really good question. I got all them fine pillows in there. You know, I got nice king-size bed. And here I am sleeping at the dining room table, propped up like this. You wake up. You ever done that? You sleep long enough, and your wrist won't move, and your elbow won't, you know. Wake up, you've been asleep like this, and you got your eyes all, you know. I had a guy who worked for me whose wife fell asleep in the floor. She rolled over on the air conditioning vent and ended up with one side of her face with Bell's palsy in it for about a month. You know, listen, you know, why in the world don't you come to bed? Yeah, I never had a good answer for that. Here I am just feet from that bed I paid all that money for with all them pillows. And here I am sleeping in a dining room table chair. I had a question for you. Where are you going to fall asleep? Some of you live in your life, you live in it however you want to. But do you know that Christ has already paid the price for you so that your sleep can be enjoyable? That you can close your eyes on this earth and open your eyes in God's new heaven. That you can open up your eyes in the presence of Jesus Christ for eternity. See, I've slept in some really weird spots and I've slept in some comfortable spots, and every one of them were my choice. This morning you have a choice. You can leave this earth lost without Jesus, separated from God for eternity. Or you can come this morning and you can accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And when you lay down and you close your eyes on this earth, you can wake in heaven. Some of you here this morning, majority of you here this morning, you say, well, I am a Christian already. It doesn't mean you don't need to be prepared. I want to stand before God one day and be able to say, hear Him say, well done. I want to make the most of every opportunity, every chance, every talent, everything He's given me. I want to use that to the best of my ability here on this earth. I want to be able to stand before Him and say, like the man with the talents, here they are, Lord. I invested them. I did what I could. You're here today and you'd say, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. But I want to make the most of my life. I want to be able to stand before I lay down on this earth, I want to be able to stand before God and say, I've done it all I could. I've given it my best. I've given it my absolute best effort. You're here today and you don't know Christ. You're going to lay down one day, never to open your eyes on this earth again. You know, I look around and I think about, I don't know how many of you have seen, and I'm not sure all the details, but there was a car wreck in Spencer Friday night, Saturday night. Nine people in the car, five of them that I know of are dead. I think the oldest one there was 26 years old. The rest of them were children. One of them was 10 that I remember. I'll guarantee you, if you'd have stopped that car 30 seconds before they hit that tree, they'd have told you all the things they were going to do in their life. I think about those children in that school. If you'd have asked those parents that morning as they were dressing those children, tell me about your future plans for your child. Oh, he's going to grow up to be a ball player. She's going to grow up to be a dancer. They had all these plans. Listen, we never know. You might be 6, you might be 86, or anywhere in between. But I promise you this, the day will come when you're going to lay down, you're going to shut your eyes, never to open them on this earth again. Are you ready to stand before your Maker? If not, you need to come this morning. Let me show you from God's Word how you can know Christ as your personal Savior.